For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
I would not consider myself a people person, but my job, I have to be a people person, so.
Because of growing up as a pastor's son, I always kind of had to fake being a people's person, but I like my alone time for sure.
I'm a little shy, but if you get me out of my shell, then I'll talk to you more.
I would consider myself a people person. Not all the time, but majority of the time.
The word church to me means a togetherness, a place for people to that are like-minded to come together and to develop their relationship with God and go into a deeper place of spirituality.
I mean, the first word that popped in my head was community.
To me, it means like a community and family. Because I'm shy, growing up, I didn't have really many friends, but I remember getting involved in the church and ministry. That's where I made my like real first friends.
I'm seeing it redefined. I think that originally it was the idea, I grew up with it being the idea of a building that you go to, but I feel like it's being redefined now to where it really is, I think, what was originally started in the book of Acts, where it's people.
The word church to me doesn't always hit me right. And I just think that's because of connotations. But I think what the church meaning is that a place to come fellowship.
I do believe God puts people in our lives for a specific reason. Like for me, I have my friend Eli. We pushed each other and like motivated each other, kind of like accountability partners.
I'd probably say two people actually that stand out to me are the Lanes, Justin Lane and Liz Lane. They've been really spiritual mentors in my life, so.
I had gone through a loss of friendships and it was clearly something that needed to be stripped out of my life. And so I was at a place where I needed someone. And Adrian, you know, he came in my life. He's an adventurer. We go kayaking together. But more importantly, we're able to have these like deep conversations that have helped me change my perspective on a lot of things. And so I know without a doubt, somebody like him was brought into my life to help me through this time.
Do you believe God puts people in our life for a specific person? And an example is my wife. 100%. If not for her, I'd be a completely different person.
You know, I used to have a guy that would be in my life a lot. A lot of people knew him. And then he wasn't. A lot of people worried about me not having that person. And it was funny that one of the people that was worried about it, Steve Anderson, became that person.
Without strong relationships, I wouldn't be the person I am today. And yeah, I probably wouldn't be alive, to be honest.
I would have probably been a drug addict, probably living on the streets. Most likely in the end, I would have probably killed myself. I've had a lot of depression in my life, and without people that I know love me, I'd be lost.
Being able to get connections with people and grow closer to people, you know, it's just more encouraging, and you know, it's not as easy to tackle life by yourself. You need those people in your life to keep you going and just to keep you accountable.
If I didn't have strong relationships, I would probably be a mountain man.
Where I would be without strong relationship would be in trouble.
If I find myself getting too close to somebody who is toxic for me, my initial response is to get as far away from you as possible if I can. If I'm stuck in a room with you, I stay quiet. I'm not super engaged.
I think back in the day, I would have just, you know, went with it. But, you know, growing stronger in a deeper relationship with the Lord. He's given me discernment with, you know, that toxic people or a toxic environment. So I would just remove myself from that situation. I can't, you know, be involved with, you know, negative energy.
You know, my dad used to say, grieve it and leave it. And so I kind of keep that perspective where it's, if I see that somebody's in my life that isn't going to be good for me, it's best to sever it and to focus on the relationships that are healthy for me.
But the minute I find out that this relationship is toxic or there's things in their life that they're bringing into mine, I cut it off. I don't have a time for it. Now, I don't tell people that. I tell people, don't take it personal. We can do other things together, but my relationships, I want to be part of their life in a positive way, and I want people in my life in a positive way. Doesn't mean they have to agree with me, but I do believe we have to have an agreement that we're going to be part of the getting us better than worse.
In the past, I've spent, I didn't spend a lot of time actively working on relationships because I was ashamed of who I was. I was, I didn't think people would want to get close to me, but now I realize more than ever is that relationships are absolutely pivotal to my survival in this world and the way I see things.
I wouldn't say it's a lot. Like with my good friend Eli, we don't really talk too much because we know we're busy, but we both understand that. But every couple months or every few weeks, we meet with each other and we still have these one-on-one conversations. We catch up with each other.
I have to force myself to make the phone calls. I can kind of be selfish, I think, sometimes and think that they should call me, but I will try to make the phone calls or send out the text message or make the appointment or whatever it is, the time to hang out with them. I have to be diligent in making those efforts as often as I can remember to make those efforts.
I can tell you, because I have groups that I meet with every day of the week now, and I said I wouldn't. I mean, when the pandemic started, I just said I wouldn't do that again, but I do. And so at least 10 hours a week, I spend with different sets of guys.
I spend actively working on my relationships with my friends a lot more consistent. I feel like this past couple of years made me realize how I need people, how I need my friends. So I'm super blessed with the people that are in my life right now. I do my best to invest in them.
How you guys doing? Excuse me. So church is not just a place we go to. I mean, we have a wonderful building here. We have a wonderful group of people that come together to volunteer. And we have good kids ministries and all these things. And we call this church, but the church is relationships, right? It's you and I. It's us. We're brothers and sisters. And I believe that. Do you guys believe that? No matter where we are, we're family. And the stronger the family, the stronger the individual. I've been thinking. I've been kind of in a reflective mood lately, the last couple of days. Not a bad mood. I mean, I get the serious face sometimes. Sometimes I'm jokey, Josh. Usually, if you find me on the street, I'm out and about. I will be like making jokes and whatever, right? But the last couple of days, I've been a little bit more reflective. I've been thinking about things, and I was thinking about sin. I was thinking about what we see as sin and how good we are at noticing it in others, and how bad we are at noticing it in ourselves, right? And you don't hear me talk about sin a lot. You don't hear me talk about don't do this or do that. Because I think that at the root of sin is real pain a lot of times. Discomfort, frustration, anger, fear. Fear is a big one. I think we act out because we have these root problems we never take care of. And I think if you take care of the root problems, then the tree will produce the right fruit, right? And I think so many people go through life holding on to things that they don't need to hold on to. They just need to let go. I want this church to become a church that understands that at the root of our lives, there should be a love for God and there should be a love for each other. And when we do that, we should become fearless people. Fearless people. I have been going out socially a little bit more often lately because my wife is a social person and that is what it is. So I go with her. She loves it. I would sit at home all day, all night if I could. Maybe going on hikes occasionally. That would be my outing. But I've learned that that we need to be out there. We need to be loving people. We need to be showing who we are. And if we are connected with God, it doesn't matter what environment we find ourselves in, those people will see that, right? In 1 John 4:16, it says, and I didn't give this to you guys back there, don't worry about it. It says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence. Confidence. If you want confidence, it comes from love. It comes from love from God, and it comes from love for each other, for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. And then look at verse 18. There is no fear in love. Fear and love cannot coexist, right? There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. So last week we talked a lot about loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And today we're going to move on to loving your neighbor as yourself. But when Jesus spoke to the Pharisee, like I talked about last week, and he told the Pharisee asked Jesus, what is the one most important commandment? And Jesus threw back two. Really, the two were one and the same, because he said, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you love both, if you love God, you're going to love your neighbor, right? It's the effect of falling in love with God, because God loves your neighbor, right? God loves the people around you. He loves the family. I've become so thankful, and I've been thankful for a long time, but more so than ever, of the relationships that God has brought into my life. See, what happens is we get saved, we make a decision for Jesus, and then life gets a lot harder, and then we wonder why we made a decision for Jesus, right? But it becomes harder because God is starting to sift things out of you that don't need to be in you, right? And so he brings people into your life to help you through that. And for me, I was sitting down with 5 or 6 couples last night, and it's my wife's birthday this weekend, and so we're just hanging out and talking, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, these relationships that have been here in our lives for 20-plus years are why we are all still here. It's crazy. It really is. I started thinking about every single person in that group and how every single person in that group has reached out to me individually multiple times to encourage me. And I've probably not done as good of a job to encourage them. But I was thinking to myself, man, without these relationships that God totally brought into my life, I would be in a bad spot. And I'm talking to those of you out there that have those relationships and those of you that don't have those relationships. See, when we say come to church, we say come to church so you'll meet people and start to have those relationships so God can have a place to connect you with somebody else. When we say get involved, it's so you can learn to have these lifelong relationships and maybe have a Bible study, maybe not, but just get connected with people. Just get connected with people, right? Sometimes we'll be sitting there and we'll be reading the word and we'll connect, and sometimes we don't, but sometimes when we're just talking, we'll connect. And every single time I'm out with people, I end up having these crazy conversations about God, you know? And that's what true fellowship is. I'm going to read a story I would like to see this become a philosophy for us here at VBF, honestly. It's in Matthew 18:12-14, and it's the parable of the lost sheep. You guys know this one, right? Yep. So verse 12 in 18 says this. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go into search of that one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So the idea is that there's a shepherd, and he has a flock, and he counts them, and he knows he has 100 sheep, and he counts one day, and all of a sudden he has 99. There's 99 sheep. That's a problem. That means there's one missing. And so he leaves the 99, and he goes and finds the one. Now, unfortunately, I think some people have confused this passage and used it as a critique of the church, saying that the church is comfortable and, you know, they don't need us, and so we're going to go out there and we're going to do the real Lord's work and find the one. But that's not what this is teaching. What this is teaching is the 99 are solid. The 99 are healthy. The 99 are good. They are protected. They are safe. They are secure. They're going to be okay. So you go find that one, and what do you do with the one? You bring them back to the strength of the 99. That's what you do. It's not a critique of the church at all. What it is it's a huge testimony as to the strength of the church, right? When we have solid relationships and we find ourselves in a group of people and God has brought these people into our lives, and I'm talking about people that you live daily with, there's a strength in that. And if you are open to welcome other people into that group and it gets stronger and stronger, I think that's the biggest evangelism tool there is in the whole wide world. Because when people look at us and they see a strength and they see happiness and joy, or maybe not always happiness, but they see something deep. They see a joy. They see a group of people that are secure, that are confident, because they know that they have a God who loves them. And they know they have people who have their backs. When people from the outside look in and see that, they think, man, I wonder if I could be a part of that. And yes, you can. So I realized that we're online this morning, today, and we're here, and we'd like to say hello to everybody who's watching as well, and the Northwest campus, and whoever else is watching, but I know there are people out there that are watching this by themselves, and they're not connected. There might be some of you that are in here, you feel like you're by yourself. My hope for you is that you are open to relationships that God brings into your life, and that you don't run away from those. It's funny, I've become friends, really close friends with people that I never thought I'd be close friends with, because God brought them into my life, and I'm like, oh, that's a connection I need, and they need me, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. So I'm going to bring out my best friend in the whole wide world, Vince Sierra, and we're going to talk about this. Later this week, so we have a little creative team that we're getting together, and we are planning out the series and stuff, and we're planning out videos and all this stuff. And Vince is in charge of the media here, and a very creative individual. But Vinny and I have been best friends since high school, actually, before we even wanted to follow God. And we've gotten in we've almost gotten in a lot of trouble a lot of times, but
been in trouble a lot of times. We were street smart. We were raised on the, I was raised east side, so we know how to get out of trouble, right?
You guys are about to see a whole different
side
of me.
This guy doesn't know how to get out of trouble. He doesn't know to run. It's just, you know, you get a run.
That's true. We were, when we were in high school, no, we were out of high school, a little bit out of high school.
I was still in high school. You should have been a better example.
Yeah, so we went to Camelot Park, and it was like, we were bored, so we weren't partiers, so we'd just go to Camelot Park, and the fun thing to do was to get in the go-karts and then just turn them around and go the opposite way, and then turn them around and go the opposite way, and then they would chase us.
They would chase you as, like, part of the game, and, you know, it was like real-life Mario Kart.
And me and all my hoodlum friends, we get off the track, and the security guards are coming to get us, and they all run because they know, you know, we're in trouble. And I just walked out confidently, like, I'm not going to get in trouble. They ended up throwing me in a closet for, like, an hour. This big old bodyguard stood in the way, said, you're going to stay here. And this little lady came in and just chewed me out, said I can never go back to Camelot again. So
the best part is we're in the parking lot, and we have, like, the headlights off. And I'm like, he's going to come out, guys. They're going to free him. And I see him in the parking lot. None of us want to get caught, and so I flash him two times with the lights. Like, hey, we're over here. You know, so we can, like, and our getaway car was a Volkswagen Bug,
yeah,
so that was fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. So we can sit up here and tell you funny stories all day long. And then some of them, I'll tell you one more. One time there was this dummy that somebody stole from somebody's front yard. I don't know who. These are bad stories to tell. I shouldn't be telling.
Yeah,
these.
I'm gonna be in trouble now. I feel like somebody's gonna be
that was mine.
It wasn't a. It was a.
Oh, you're gonna give
time.
Specifics? Because I was gonna not give specifics. Right. So it was a Santa Claus, is what it was.
I messed up
it was
on
a
my
Santa Claus,
smarts.
And they stole them from. And then we dressed them up in my clothes, and they were throwing them out in front of cars, in front of.
I know that's a big. We were really young. Yeah, I was still laughing. In high school. Josh that's might not have been did. In high school, but it wasn't in front of cars like in traffic. It was like through drive-thrus.
Oh, drive-thrus. Yeah,
drive-thrus. That makes it better.
One lady spilled all of her food. She got out and stole the dummy. And then I got mad at them because my clothes were on it. So that was that. I don't know why we're doing this. But the reason I had Vince come out was because he's one of the people, one of the key figures in my life that God has brought into my life. And we have a lot of fun. We joke a lot. We've laughed harder than ever with each other. But when it comes down to it, if I need something, anything, I can rely on this guy. And I think he can rely on me like 75% of the time, right? Depending on my ADD, right? So we're there for each other. We really are. I would literally drop anything for this guy. And our families see that. And we have other groups of couples that are connected with us that we feel the same way about. And it's just so cool because we've always held on to these relationships, not as just friendships, but as we've all acknowledged the fact that God has brought us together and that we have a higher purpose together. And so anyway, this week we were shooting a video, and Vince works for the church as well. Now he's been in and out. He also does media, has a media business. But this week, I was like, hey, let's shoot a video. There's a bunch of sheep out in the foothills, and let's go out there and shoot some of that footage. And you're like, what's it for? Because he doesn't want to waste his time, and he's wasted a lot of time with me. I said, I don't know yet, but I think it's going to be good, right?
When you have a video idea, you're like, we're going to do this thing, and I don't get specifics. You just show up with the camera. So you have to ask a lot of questions with Josh. So if you know that about him, just make sure you ask a lot of questions.
I felt it. I didn't have a plan, but I felt it. So I'm like, let's do it. So he's like, all right, we'll do it. So he goes out. We take my truck out, and he's the drone guy. He shoots all the stuff, but he knows how to fly a drone. So he gets a drone out, and we pull up right next to this big flock of sheep. And go ahead and show that first clip. And Vince is out. He's shooting his drone. Look at this. Look at this flock of sheep. This is right out here in the foothills, right above Canyon Hills. But look how crazy it is, just the herd, how close they stay together. Look at that. Isn't that cool? So Vince was shooting this. It looks, somebody said it looks like bugs. Yeah, it looks like little bugs. They sped it up. But look at how the flock moves together and flows together. And there's the sheepdog right there and the shepherd. And they do their job. And Jesus is our shepherd, right? And he should move us all together. It's funny. One of the things that I thought of when I saw this footage was I thought the church is fluid. We move. I talked to one of our friends, Liz Lane, last night, and I said, I'm always trying to, in a way, go back to a simpler time and be who I was when I first gave my life to the Lord. And she said, yeah, but you're different now. And I'm like, you're right. I am different now. I'm a different person. So be who you are today, not who you were yesterday, right? Like, we are a fluid group, and Jesus is moving. And so if Jesus is moving, then we should be moving with him, right? Huge. And so did you want to say anything else about the drone shots or about the sheep herd?
No, it was so crazy. I felt really bad because at first he pulled the drone out. If you guys have ever walked out in the foothills or been around, they're skittish. Is that right?
Yeah.
They're a little bit afraid of you. And so I put the drone up in the air, and as soon as I did it, they would start running. So I was like herding sheep with my drone, so I didn't like scare them off because I didn't want the guy to have to go follow him. But as soon as as soon as he came out, he wasn't worried about them, by the way.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't. And then he came
out. We thought
we
were gonna get in trouble.
He like walked away. As soon as that dog came out. It was crazy how fast they like got into the herd and they started moving.
Yeah.
It was like the drone was like making them move a little bit, but
they were trained. So before the shepherd came, what I did was Vince had the drone and he was flying the drone and getting those shots. And I had a regular camera and with a tripod, and I walked around the back and I thought I'll just bring him back and we'll get some good shots. And what I'm looking for is an illustration for the 99 and the one. And I'm like, I got to find a sheep. There are one little sheep that's by itself, you know, and I'm trying to find one. And go ahead and play this next clip. So I shot this right here. So I found this one lamb by itself. I was like, man, that's weird. He's over there by himself and he's just hanging out. And if you go, this is bad footage. This isn't a normal video, but His flock is way up on the hill. And so he's totally by himself. And I got a closer look, and I realized that he was caught up on something. He was stuck on that barbed wire. He was tied up on the barbed wire. So I set the camera on the tripod, and I decided to play Farmer Josh. And so I walked over there, and let's let that play. This poor little guy, man. I felt so bad for him. He was scared of me. And this thing was wrapped around really tight. He just got stuck. And so I don't know what I'm doing, as you can tell. I'm like, do I jump on him? And then he's like hurting himself. So I'm like, oh God. This is really bad. If anybody needs a farmhand, I am not the one to do it. But then the little guy just laid down. He just laid down. So I sped it up because you're gonna see this horrible shot for a long time. Turns out
I was gonna say nice angle, bud.
It was really difficult. I had my pocket knife, thank goodness. And so I took the thing off. It took some work, but I was able to get him untied. And he looks dead. He's not dead. He's happy. He popped his head up, and there he is, up in the right hand corner. See him? He's getting back with his flock right there, and he's back with his flock. And so I don't know. Hero? Am I a hero?
You are a hero. So let me give you my perspective, because this is funny, because I'm flying the drone. And all I see is Josh is talking.
So the shepherd walks up, and I think I'm in trouble. I don't know, like, if I did something bad. Like, did they do it on purpose? Nothing about sheep.
He didn't run this time. He didn't learn his lesson.
Yeah, so I go and try to talk to this guy, and he speaks Spanish, right? Full Spanish, no English. And I'm like, your sheep, it was over there, and it was stuck. It was tied up, and I untied him, and he's like, meh, I don't know. And so I went directly to hand signal. So I'm like, oh, the sheep's tied. The fence, and he's there, and now it's good.
And that's not what I see. I see Josh in my mind. I'm flying the drone. I see him over there, the guy with the hurt, you know. And I see him like, oh, if you can just pose like this, I really want this for the video on Sunday. Because I just see him doing all these motions, and I'm like, what is he doing over there? So he walks up all pumped out of his mind. He's like, did you see that? That's so awesome. I'm like, oh, you got the video of the guy? He's like, no, dude. And he's like, he was way pumped. But I had it like completely different in my mind. But yeah. We just couldn't believe it. Like, you couldn't make that story up, like the 99 of the one. Because right. I was like, people are going to think we like... you know, put that...
Set it up.
Like, yeah. We, like, tied him up. We're like, oh,
well,
be really
you saw
cool.
How I was moving. There's no way I could ever catch one sheep to do that. There's no way. There's no possible
nah,
way.
I'll test to that. You can't catch a sheep.
But, so that... I came back, and I was so excited, and I told Vince, like, what a cool illustration of what the church should be. First of all, how many of us are out looking on the fringe, right? How many of us are out walking around and looking and looking and seeing and keeping our eyes and hearts open to see somebody who isn't connected to the flock? We have to keep our eyes open for that. And that takes spiritual eyes. That takes a lot of prayer. That takes a lot of intention, right? And then when we see them, what do we do? What do we do?
Well, I think it's practice, too. Like, one of the things, like, Pastor Ron talks about, your dad talks about, you talk about a lot, mm-hmm. is you have to be ready for those moments.
Right.
Like, if you know, today's the football game, right? You guys are all rooting for the Rams, and that's a whole thing. But, no? All right. They're like, no, don't talk about it. But it's an investment. You can't just walk onto the football field today and expect to play and do really, really good, right? And the same thing with our spiritual walk. Like, if we're thinking, like, hey, we want to do these awesome things for God and have these God stories... if we're not constantly in our word, if we're not doing our daily devotionals, if we're not in a small group with other people, that's not going to come very naturally. It's not going to be an easy thing to do. If you see somebody on the fringe, isn't going to be something that you think like, oh yeah, I'm going to be able to go share the Lord with that person, because you're out of practice. It's not something you're used to. You're uncomfortable. It's not something you believe in. And I think that comes with, you know, that territory. And I think we saw it in the video. You were an unpracticed sheep herder. You weren't really good at getting, but you did it. You were able to, but the one thing I will say is you made yourself available in that moment.
Well, I didn't know what to do. You know, I didn't know what to do. I saw him stuck and I was like, I think I need to help this little guy. And I went over there and struggled with it and it worked. And I think about relationships, and when you reach out to somebody that you wouldn't normally reach out to, maybe God put somebody on your heart, you think, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know. What do I do? What do I do? And that's sometimes okay. Sometimes it's just calling somebody and saying, hey, I'm thinking about you, and starting with that. you know? That can go a long, 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 long way. It really can.
Well, I remember when you first asked me to start helping you in ministry, and I was, I mean, I shouldn't have ever helped you. You were doing high school group. You were borderline, should have maybe not been doing it. No, I'm just kidding. But you asked me, you said, hey, I think you'd do really good in this. And one of the things you said was to keep it simple. Like, don't go overboard. Just be there for the students. And that led to one thing. Like, I was just in the simple ways. I was just there for the high school students. And just being there opened up relationships. And that opened up my relationship with God. As I poured into the students' lives, I was able to also develop my relationship with God. And sometimes I can go, you know, it's awesome. Because I think as we pour into people, we don't realize that God is also pouring back into us.
Right. Well, when I first started, the same thing happened. And I was, and we've talked about this a lot, I was falling in love with God, and I was simultaneously falling in love with these kids. And and I still have, like the students that we were ministering to back then are now, like, a bunch of them are our adult friends. And, I mean, one of them's working back there. One of them's...
Yeah, like, Johnny. You know,
yeah, Johnny, Justin. You got all these guys. It's just, it's crazy to think that God can really orchestrate such a strong group of people. And listen, our group of friends has flaws. We definitely have flaws. But I think that that's also part of the strength, is that when somebody's down, Vince and I always talk about this, when I'm down, he's usually up and doing good. And when he's down, I'm usually up and encouraging him. And it's like, we have a funny story. I'm going to share this. You guys are going to think we're really crazy. One day when we were young, before we were married, we were like 19, 20, and we were bored, and I was like, let's go to Magic Mountain. So we go to Magic Mountain, and we're talking about God the whole way there. We're like learning and thinking. Maybe I'm a little older. And we get there, and we go to Panda Express, and we get some Chinese food, and I got a fortune cookie, and he's like, hey, break me off half of that. And so I gave it to him. He breaks off half. And then I pull it out, and it says, this partnership shall prove successful. And so we've based our whole relationship on a fortune cookie from Panda Express.
It's the simple things,
guys. You
gotta
have something to believe in.
You know what's
crazy,
though, in that whole thing is, like, and the reason why we were so stoked on that day was because we were talking about doing ministry for life.
We were,
like,
yeah.
We were talking about,
we were,
you know,
planning our lives.
Yeah,
because we
when you're 19, you know exactly what you want to do with your life, right?
Yeah, we were. We were talking.
No, but
about
we were talking about doing ministry full time, yeah. And like wanting to.
Because we've always had ideas of working together, and you know, we wanted to do a skate shop at one point. Then we wanted to do some video stuff, and we did. We've done a lot of video stuff and media stuff. But I know that we've always both landed on a higher purpose, and we know that God has called us. And no matter what it looks like, I believe the same thing for everybody here. Like, God has a purpose, and he has a calling for all of us. And we do it as a team. We do it as a group of people, as a tribe. And I understand that this is a big church, and it's hard to find your group of people in this big church, but a lot of you have. And so I would encourage you, if you're a part of a group, to include other people when you need to, and pray and ask God if he wants you to invite people to your group, but also encourage other people to lead their own, right? Sometimes your group can get too big. I think, like, sometimes we have a small group or a group of people, and it's just like so, it's too much, right? And so some people end up leading their own group. And so just encourage people to do that. But I know I wouldn't be where I'm at. And so I just encourage you guys to foster these relationships, because we need to. I'm going to go through these slides. You can stay up here with me and we can go through them.
Sure.
So real quick, I just want to give you guys 3 points to leave with. I'm trying to do that so you'll remember. So the church, the first slide, go ahead and put that up, Sandy. The church is family. We've talked about that. But it is. It is. There's a Greek word for family, and the word is oikos. And it means family. It means that I heard a guy speak on this one time, and he said that God will bring 8 or 9 people specifically into your life. And I don't know where he got the number from. I think it's different for everybody. But God will bring a certain amount of people in your life for specific reasons. And some will be there for very close to you for a season, and some are there for a lifetime. But you got to treat that as family. So I expect, like, last week I ripped up a Bible and some people got mad, okay? And I apologize if I offended anybody. I didn't mean to. I was trying to make a point, and it bothered me that it offended some of you. But the point, if you want to go back and watch it, I hope you capture the point. But one person, out of all the people that got offended that I heard from people that told me that somebody said this to this person, you know, it got back to me. One person reached out to me personally. One person took the effort to find me on Facebook and message me. And we had a really good conversation. And to me, that's family. That's what family does. When you disagree with your brother or your sister, you call them up. How many arguments have you and you been in?
Oh, yeah. We're lucky we're in an argument this morning, yeah.
A lot.
It's
but
like a married couple, you know?
Yeah, they laugh. Our wives are jealous.
Our wives laugh. But no, family's messy, though, too. Wouldn't you guys agree? I mean, how many of you guys have messy families out there, right? Like, it happens, and that's okay. Like, if family gets messy, it's easy to want to run, but if you're truly, if you're in it with your family, you're there and you work through that time, you work through those hardships, you work through those trials, right? And I think that's okay. And I think you grow through that. I think our relationship, I'd say specifically, has grown probably to where it's at now, not because we've always got along, but because we've had a lot of disagreements and a lot of, and not like bad things like, hey, you know, I hate your guts type
things. No, we've learned to find the value in it. 100%. I expect Vince to tell me what
the truth.
He thinks and the truth. And whether I agree with them or not at the time, I will always weigh it. You know, I'll always weigh it and think, okay, he's right about this and I need to change this. And that's what, you know, iron sharpens iron. That's what has allowed me to grow. Our wives too. My wife, man, like, she has been so many things to me, but one of the biggest things she's been to me is somebody who calls me out when I need to be called out. And I don't like it, but I appreciate it, and I've learned to find the value in it. And so that's what it is, right? So the second slide, let's put that up. So I want to get you guys out of here so you can go fellowship. Christ is where the church is. When two or more are gathered, right, he's in our presence. And it's sometimes we worry about that. Is God with us? Yes, right now. He's with us. The Lord is with us. Because we're gathering in his name. So he's here. He's actually come to our party. He came to our event. And he's working on us. And he's pleased with that. So when you get together, you know, realize that there's something bigger happening. The third slide, because we're running out of time, is the church is God's chosen people. We read the Old Testament. It's about the Israelites and how they're God's chosen people. But in Romans 11, Paul talks about how we are grafted in to that. And now we are God's people because we believe in Jesus Christ. And so realize that you are not just a part of something big here at the church. You're a part of something much bigger throughout history. You're a part of God's story from the beginning to the end. And so those relationships that we have are so, so important because we're a part of that bigger story. Like, we're Peter and Paul, you know, sometimes, or we're Peter and John, whatever. Like, that's how I see it. We're part of the story. We're part of the Bible. I always wonder why the Bible stopped at Revelation. Was it supposed to continue going? I don't know. We'll have that discussion later. But I was like,
that's the note you want to leave everybody on?
No, but I'm just saying, like there are stories that are like the Bible that are happening now. And I know God loves it. He's in, you know, now we have a bunch of different books and stuff that we can read, but we need to glean off of each other. So I believe that God speaks to us through listening, through prayer, right? Which is speaking to him and listening. And I think I know he also speaks to us through each other a lot. When all my friends are saying the same thing, I listen. I'm like, okay, because they are connected to God. I trust that. So we just want to encourage you guys to find the people that God has put in your life, or acknowledge the people that God has put in your life, and foster those relationships. Today, you're gonna have a chance to get people together at your house, maybe, and watch a football game or whatever. Or maybe go out and go to a bar and watch a football game there and look at, but for the purpose of like finding that lost sheep, you know, don't be weird. Don't like go next to somebody and say, hey, are you doing okay? You know, but just you use the Spirit and pray for them and say, hey, if you run into somebody, you know, ask God to show somebody that you know. And when they pop up, you say, hey, I've been thinking about you. I came here. I prayed about it. I came here today. Like, let's do that stuff. Let's get out in the community. Let's bring people into our homes. Let's spread this as light and as the salt that we are. And let's build those relationships, because a lot of those relationships they're not even connected right now, because there are a lot of sheep that used to be connected to the church that are not. And it is our responsibility to be used by Jesus, to be his body, right? And to go find those people. And so I encourage you to take that attitude and then enjoy life too, right? Smile, laugh, root your team on, even if they're losing, right? But let's go ahead and pray. And let's just believe that God has something for us today, all right? Today. Father, we thank you for who you are. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and open up our minds, Lord, to what you have for us today, God. And I pray, Lord, that all of us would keep our eyes open and we would be willing and we would be ready to talk to somebody that we need to talk to or text somebody that we need to text or encourage somebody that we need to encourage. And if it's us that needs to be encouraged, help us to be open to receive that encouragement from somebody else. And I pray, Lord, that if anybody that is watching this, anybody's here, needs that, I pray, Lord, that somebody else would connect with them, Lord, and that they would even maybe reach out to somebody saying, I need help. That takes a lot of humility, and I pray that they would be able to do that, that we, God, would be able to be the family that you want, Lord, that you desire, and help us to honor you and help us to lift you up. And help us to trust you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name. And you guys want prayer? Come up and get prayer. Come up and get prayer. If you want to give your life to the Lord for the first time or for the last time, come up and get prayer. Other than that, happy Sunday. Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.